Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We are going to be joined by Johnny Daniels, who is the founder of From the Depth Foundation. He's a public speaker and author, and I wanted to actually ask him about the intersection between Holocaust survivor and retaining the memories, and what is happening at the moment, because we are living in a world where things are being rewritten, aren't they? And that becomes quite a dangerous thing. How do we preserve memories? And in a world with so much inaccuracy, how do we keep the accuracy of those alive? Johnny Daniels, a very, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. I'm hoping you're well.
Good morning. Absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a very, very it's troubling for me, because I've when we come to like Holocaust Memorial Days, and I found the last couple of years that I'm finding it particularly difficult to differentiate between October 7th and what followed and the Holocaust. And I don't know if that's good. I don't know if it's healthy obviously not healthy, because healthy is an inappropriate word there. But is it appropriate or inappropriate? How do we look at these different types of memories and retain an understanding of them each? I know it's quite a heavy question to open with, but I'm just so intrigued by it.
It's a great question. I mean, look, we need to be doing a tremendous amount more than we are. Now, you know, the general feeling, especially when it comes to Holocaust education, is, oh, we've done everything, right? There's been a million books written, tons of movies, but for whatever reason, this isn't doing its job. And we have to be honest about this, right? You know, when we look within the Jewish community, sure, every Jewish kid knows about the Holocaust.
Oh, I see what
everybody
you're saying.
Everybody learns
right.
about it. Okay. But when we look at a broader society, it just isn't doing the job. And that's also an important part. You know, at the end of the day, if we're not telling our own story, nobody else is telling it for us. And this absolutely falls on us as a Jewish community to be doing better. And even in terms of memory and memorial of survivors themselves, look at any Holocaust-based organization. It is almost always run by first generation, perhaps second generation, but there are very, very few people in my age group, millennials, 40 and younger, who are involved in any of these things. And that's going to be lost. You know, when I speak around the world, and I'm often, when I'm brought in, I'll be asked to speak into a high school or to college students. And especially with high schoolers, the point that I make to them more than anything is that they are going to be the last direct link to survivors ever. Their children will not have that opportunity to sit with Holocaust survivors as they are going to be able to have now. And even now, it's the last days and last opportunity to be able to do that. So a lot more needs to be done from us.
Yeah.
And we also do need to differentiate when it comes to different types of tragedy that have befallen us as a people. October 6th was a horrendous day. But October 6th was effectively a pogrom. It was not a Holocaust. It was stopped because we have the State of Israel and because we have a Jewish army. And this is the difference. The messages, what's to be learned from these times, are different. So they do need separate days. They need to be looked at differently and separately. And they should not be joined together, in my opinion.
I saw an article this morning. In fact, I had bookmarked it to discuss with listeners. Blind Hate: California High School Students Spark Outrage with a Viral Human Swastika. And I kept looking at this thinking, how is this possible? In an age where people understand, well, maybe they don't understand it, and maybe that goes to your point that we haven't done a great job at this, or haven't been allowed to, whatever that would be. How do we arrive at a situation that a California high school student can make a human swastika And there's nobody there to say, hold on, is this a good idea?
Well, I think there's a few points. I think firstly, high schoolers are idiots. And this isn't anything new. This is around the world. As a high schooler, I too was an idiot and did stupid things. I didn't make a swastika, but I did other things. Idiotic things. As a teenager, teenagers do silly things. You know, it's the same way that we look at teenagers and see a high amount of people with communist and socialist ideals. And, you know, that's always going to be the way. People tend to think those kinds of things are lovely things until they have a paycheck and need to start paying taxes and realize that perhaps it's not the best idea that they pay for everybody who doesn't want to work. So teenagers do grow up, but we're also seeing, you know, look, that none of this is new. It's enough to look at the interview that's gone very viral just a few days ago between Piers Morgan and Nick Fuentes, alt-right nutcase from the United States, who spoke very clearly about the fact that Hitler was a super cool guy, right? Hitler was amazing, is what Fuentes was saying on this interview with Piers Morgan, who was completely shocked, said, as a boomer, how can you say such a thing? And Fuentes just, you know, was being his normal controversial self and given the airtime by everybody because everybody's looking for clickbait. But the flip side of this is that also we have to understand that none of this is new. It's just different names. Anti-Semitism, Jew hatred, denial of Jewish suffering is nothing new. For as long as there've been Jews, there've been people who don't like us. We need to do the best job that we can at combating that and calling it out and pushing back against it. But we also shouldn't become too consumed by it either, because it's always been there and always will be there. It's the way of the Jew. Again, for as long as there've been us, there've been people who don't like us. And we need to focus also our efforts on pushing forward with Jewish ideals, and more than anything, just being out and proud and modeling good behavior, 100%. Because that changes minds and attitudes better than anything else will.
I have to tell you that when I am vilified, which I am fairly frequently here in South Africa for being the face of unrepentant Zionism, whatever that might be, I consider that an honor. If you know, we've been doing this for thousands of years, and if it's my turn here in South Africa to stand up, well, aren't I? I mean, what a privilege that is, and maybe that is something that we have to put forward. But you do a lot of you do a lot of outreach. You speak to a lot of youngsters. When you meet them, when you meet youngsters who have grown up with TikTok, Instagram, and whose history, knowledge of history comes from these clips, how do you break through the layers and layers of confirmation bias, misdirection, disinformation that they have been subject to for so long?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not the easiest thing in the world, that's for sure. But, you know, the truth is that we're incredibly lucky. We're incredibly lucky because the facts are on our side. And when the facts are on your side and you're able to push forward with them and talk about them and consistently remind about them, then things do tend to balance out in the end. It's not an easy thing to do, but you have to push through. And there are also people who, quite simply, you have to understand you will not change, right? There are people who are so consumed by this, and who, especially over the last 2 years, have eaten up every little bit of Hamas savages propaganda and just sucked every single part of this and are certain that Israel's, you know, genocidal and doing everything bad under the sun, and just can't see the daylight in any of this. And in those kinds of situations, you also have to know when to walk away. We can only do what we can do, and that is consistently to push the truth and tell the truth. Look, you know, we don't have we could talk about this for hours. We don't have hours, unfortunately, today. But, you know, the thing that I consistently remind people is that at the end of the day, whilst this is a very difficult situation and not the easiest time, we have faced so much worse as a people. This doesn't even come close. This is an uncomfortable time. It's not a particularly easy time. But again, we're living in miraculous times. you know, to be a face of proud Jews wherever you are in the diaspora today is a comfortable position to be in.
Oh, absolutely.
Comparative to what it would have been 80 years ago.
Right.
You know, look, you know, I was in Calgary last week. It was freezing cold and all these people are getting nervous and worried. And I turned to them and said very clearly, I said, you know, if the situation gets real bad here in Canada, then at the end of the day, you can pack your bags and you can go where the weather is better and the food is nicer.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's it. We're very,
and
very
to our listeners, he doesn't mean South Africa, by the way. I just wanted
to... I've never been. I wouldn't be able to comment.
Well, food is great and so is our weather, but that's an aside. That's why I didn't want them getting confused. No, but you're absolutely, absolutely right. We are living we are living in privileged times. In fact, you reminded me, my late grandmother, who was a survivor, came from Germany, and some of our family was making Aliyah at the time, and everybody was crying, and she said, you know, I don't really understand what the issue is here. You know, you've got telephones and you've got faxes at that time, and you've, you know, you're back and forth. When we got on our boat, when we got on these boats, we had no idea where we were going. We couldn't speak a language. We knew we would never see our families again. We're living in very, very different times. I do need to wrap up the interview, but I do want to as a final word. Many of our listeners are Jewish. They're not Jewish. Some of them are supportive. Some of them are not supportive. What is your message that everybody needs to hear?
I think the message that everybody needs to be here is to be truthful to yourself and to be truthful to God and to understand that connection that we have as human beings with our Creator. And whether you're a Jew, that's to connect to your Judaism closer and stronger. And whether you're a Christian, that's to connect to your Christianity stronger and closer. If you're a Jew, go to synagogue on Shabbat. If you're a Christian, go to church on Sunday. But connect. Because that connection is what gives you strength and what gives you a direction in life and what gives you a broader understanding and what enables you to move forward in dark and difficult times. And I think that is my message.
And that is apt and absolutely spot on. That's From the Depth Foundation. He's a public speaker. He's an author. Go follow him on social media.